Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Insurance to suit your needs. Protect your home, car or van with Zurich.
Police are investigating the new Madeleine McCann suspect for possible involvement in a similar case in Germany. They're re-examining the disappearance of five-year-old Inga Gehrig, who vanished during a family barbecue in 2015. Inga, who's thought to have wandered into a forest in search of firewood, is known in German media circles as the German Maddie. For years, Kate and Jerry McCann have fought to keep their daughter's name in the news, often in the face of a media onslaught. Philip Boucher-Hayes has been looking back at 13 years of that fight.
I went into a room and the door was open, and I just paused for a second and I looked and she was sound asleep, and I thought how beautiful she was. The twins were asleep in their cots, and I thought how lucky we were.
The last time that Jerry McCann saw his daughter, the disappearance of their child is really only a part of what Kate and Jerry McCann have had to deal with for 13 years. Online hate campaigns, monitoring by sections of the media, suspicion, both official and social, and the judgment of others.
The restaurant where we were eating is on the complex where we're staying. It's quite similar to on a summer's evening at home, eating in your garden while the children are in your bed. You know, it's that close.
Who among us hasn't on some level judged the McCanns for the choices they made, even though they were clearly already judging themselves?
The receptionist had actually written in the staff book, can this group have a table reserved for the week because they're leaving the children alone in the apartment? And when I discovered that, I just felt sick, because I just thought, well, this is in a staff book, which by nature is seen by all staff.
The McCanns had done well to secure media attention from the start of the case, but that turned when 4 months after their daughter's disappearance, their relationship with the Portuguese police changed officially.
Both parents of Madeleine McCann are now considered formal suspects by the Portuguese police authorities. Jerry McCann, when he left his late-night questioning, declared in the early hours of the morning that he too had been categorised as an arguido, a formal suspect by police.
At that point, much of the commentary around Kate McCann in particular related to how she didn't tick all the boxes of the grieving parent. Too cold, too severe, too well-dressed, not traumatised enough. Why doesn't she cry on camera, we all wanted to know.
Were you aware that people were saying, oh, look at Kate McCann, she's very cold. I saw her laugh there one day. I think Jerry smiled one day. She was jogging. She mustn't care.
It's a terrible situation, actually. Apart from your daughter going missing, the other thing that we need to mention is that we were told explicitly that we couldn't talk about detail of the actual investigation.
Did that make you seem evasive then?
No, but under judicial secrecy.
Yes.
And the police weren't allowed to talk, and then we were getting all these leaks and then lies and smears and misinformation that was put out. And it was almost impossible to combat it because we weren't actually allowed to say anything.
Yeah.
17,000 people signed a petition requesting Leicestershire Child Protection Services to ask the McCanns why had they left their children unattended. One university study showed that 10 years after Madeleine's disappearance, the hashtag McCanns was generating over 100 tweets an hour. Very little of it supportive. Following public sentiment as much as it was creating it, one newspaper obtained Kate McCann's diaries and published them.
You know, I'd written these words and thoughts at the most desperate time in my life. I mean, most people don't have to experience that. And it was my only way of communicating with Madeleine. And for me, you know, there was absolutely no respect shown for me as a grieving mother or as a human being, or for my daughter. And it made me feel very vulnerable and small.
6 months into the investigation, the lead detective, Gonzalo Amaral, was replaced. He resigned, and in an attempt to rebut the charges of incompetence, he wrote a book and made a documentary accusing the McCanns of sedating Madeleine, who died in an accident, and then her parents hid her body to cover up the death.
We were suspicious that an accident could have led to the death of Madeleine. There is no hint, no proof that the child was kidnapped. On the contrary, there are hints that the parents were negligent and there are hints there was hiding of the body.
The allegation resulted in libel and counter-libel suits fought out in the Portuguese courts. The McCanns gave detailed evidence of the anguish that Detective Amaral's book had caused them.
The documentary is even worse than the book. It starts off stating right at the beginning that Madeleine is dead, that there was no abduction, and essentially claims that myself and my wife and our friends are liars and would be so cold and ruthless as to hide our daughter's body rather than try and then help her should something have happened.
Their lawyer told BBC's Panorama that defending them was a lonely place to be in Portugal.
I have friends that don't want to talk to me about the case.
Why? I don't understand.
Because everyone believes in Gonçalo Amaral. Everyone believes that I am defending a father and a mother that have killed the daughter and got rid of the corpse.
This case went all the way to the Portuguese Supreme Court, which found in Gonçalo Amaral's favour. He was entitled under freedom of expression laws to publish his expert opinion. There were other libel cases that the McCanns won, though, most notably against The Express, which had falsely accused them of selling Maddie to relieve financial pressures.
And last time we talked, you told me how you were still buying birthday presents and Christmas presents for Madeleine. Are you, with 10
yes,
years
still,
now, are you still doing that?
I still do that. I couldn't not. You know, she's still our daughter. She'll always be our daughter.
3 years ago, on the 10th anniversary of her disappearance, and at a time, as we now know, when there was good reason to once again seek the public's help, the McCanns gave an interview to the BBC. But, once again, much of the commentary was overwhelmingly negative, mostly critical of them for not accepting that their daughter was inevitably dead.
No parent's going to give up on their child unless they know for certain their child's dead, and that we just don't have any evidence.
The German investigation could bring an end to the McCanns' torture. It could equally be just another misleading road sign in a never-ending journey. Whichever, the renewed interest in their case should also prompt questions about how we treat women who don't conform to traditional maternal stereotypes. Why are we drawn to believe bad mother narratives? Why do we rush to judgment in the absence of all of the facts?
You know, we were having to try and find our daughter ourselves, and we needed all the help we could get, and we were faced with, and I know we'll come on to headlines, but corpse in the car. I don't know how many times I read body fluids in the car, and it gets repeated that often. That becomes fact. There were no body fluids, you know. And we desperately wanted to shout out, it's not true, it's not true, but when it's your voice against the powerful media, you know, it just doesn't hold weight. And they were desperately shouting out internally, please stop what you're doing. I mean, we're trying to find our daughter and you were stopping our chances of finding her.
And that report from Philip Boucher-Hayes.